alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start to record, and we're going to take today, we're going to take a block, so a section in the surah, and this section talks about a specific story. We're going to cover that. And it is ayah 246, which is ayah 246 to ayah 252. But you require to memorize ayah, huh?
246.
246 only, because, yeah. 246, that's it. So, memorize ayah 246. Now, this ayah 30 was the past homework last week. So, you guys need to do last week as well. All right. So, now let's learn it together. What does it talk about? It talks about one of the children of Israel. I mean, two families, a group of children of Israel. And this group... It records. Let's make it near me. Okay, and also can get the recording online. So, okay. So now what happened is that it's similar to Lion King. Pretty much similar to Lion King. If there is no baby boy, if there's no son to a person, to a rich person, the one who inherits is the brother. You got it? So, if you have a son child, the one who inherits everything is the brother. Just like Lion King. If Simba was there, then who inherits? Oh, his name is Simba?
Yeah.
The little guy.
I didn't watch.
Yeah, Simba. How about the big guy?
I don't know who that's Kwan. 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 Name of Kwan.
Huh?
The uncle or the dad?
The dad.
Mufasa.
Mufasa. And then the uncle?
Scar.
Scar, okay. So, if Simba is not there, Mufasa will die. Who inherits everything?
Scar.
Got it? So, Scar hated Simba because Simba is going to inherit his father's money and his father's prestige and honor. So, what Scar did in this case... Scar, in this case, the Scar person, the Scar human, killed the boy.
No, he didn't.
I'm talking about the this story in Surah Al-Baqarah. He killed the boy.
And who is Scar?
No, Scar here, the Surah did not mention, Allah does not mention these kind of details. So, here we go. And then he took his body, and he threw the body of the boy at a neighbor. And this neighbor had a fight, was an enemy of the child's family. You got it? So when he does that, then the child's family would think that who killed the boy? Their enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Their enemies. Because he took the boy's body and he buried it where? He took the boy's body and he buried it into? Their enemies. It isn't actually buried. He just left it as the enemies, right? Take notes. So, the boy's family thought who killed him?
The enemies.
They didn't think that his uncle killed him. So now they were about to start a war because of this. So they went to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and they said, okay, we want to, since you're a prophet, right? Are you a prophet? Yes. Can you tell us who killed the boy? Well, I will ask Allah. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me that. So he went and he asked Allah, Ya Allah, we want to know who killed Simba. Yes.
Is this
what
the cow? Like
you? Yes.
The golden cow, the only one who fired from that
bull. Yes. So you know that story, right?
Yeah. I don't. I like it.
Huh? You know the story?
Every single year he keeps up.
But could you say it again?
Okay.
I know it a little bit.
Let's move to the next story then.
No!
I don't know.
Could you say it again?
It is. It's another fun story.
I'm going to do it in the assembly.
So now, what happened? Just guys. I'm going to do it in the assembly so that everybody knows about it. Okay?
Does it every year. But then for the homework, there won't be a question for this story, will there?
No, there will be no question. It's going to be about the second story. The second story is about the children of Israel who were wandering in the desert. They have no home. They have no hometown. And they want to go to the holy city. What is the holy city to
Jerusalem?
Jerusalem. However, Jerusalem has mighty, strong people. Jerusalem has mighty, strong people. And those mighty, strong people have to be kicked out first before they can get there. So now you remember the story?
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a prophet, and the children of Israel, every time a prophet dies, another prophet will appear. Why? Because Allah wanted them to be always guided with a prophet so that they don't go astray. They don't go astray. So there was a prophet at their time. So they told the prophet, why don't you bring us a king that will unite us and make us fight the bad guys in Jerusalem and kick them out and take over the town so that we can live in it. Got it? So, Allah decided to grant this opportunity. However, Allah knew that the war is going to be very difficult war, because who are the people who live in Jerusalem? Mighty, strong people. It's a very mighty, very strong people that are going to be in Jerusalem. Got it? So Allah wants only the strong believers to be in the army. Allah wanted to wash away the fat and keeps only the muscles. The muscles are the ones who have strong faith. So Allah wanted what? Only strong faith, people with a strong faith to be in the army. So now, go ahead.
So you'll get rid of the strong people, the mighty people, but then you'll replace it with believers?
Yes, exactly. Very strong believers are going to be the winners. So Allah wanted to wash away the weak ones, or the ones without any good faith. So guess. So guess, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to filter away the people with weak faith? How does Allah do that? Huh?
By having a war against the weak faith?
No, by testing them. By testing them. So the first test is that Allah told them that Talut is your king. A person from among them. Who wasn't? Allah wanted to filter away the people with weak faith so that only people with strong faith will go into the fight, into the war, without having any weak people among them. Okay? That would weaken them, because Allah wanted a body of very strong believers to go into this war. So Allah wanted to filter away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, Talut is your king. Talut is your what?
King.
So they started arguing and said, why Talut is our king? Why Talut is our king? We know better than him and we have more money. We have more money. Got it? So they wanted the rich among them to be the leader. But Allah selected the person who's not rich as a test. And you know how the children of Israel valued money. So they use money to judge people. If you're rich, you're a good person. If you're poor, you're not. Got it? So they said, okay, Talut is not a good choice because he does not have money. does not have money. Okay? So the ones who rejected Talut, Allah said, the Prophet said, Allah selected Talut. The Prophet said, Allah selected who? Talut. It's the selection of who? Allah. They said, no, it's a wrong selection. We have a lot of wealthy people that more deserving. They said, he said, it's Allah's selection, for Allah gave him a lot of wisdom and strength, body strength. He was a strong guy, and he was very wise. So he said, this is why Allah selected him. They said, no, we don't like it. We're not going to do it. Okay? So when they start with, let's say they started with 10,000. Let's say they started with 10,000. Okay? After the first test, 10,000 people want to go to war. After the first test, only 10% of them passed the test. So we have here, started with 10,000. After test number one, which is selecting Talut, they became 1,000. So only 10% of them passed. Now, 10% as a ratio is not mentioned in Islamic sources. So don't take it as a fact. Just take it as an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filtered most of the people and only the good ones, strong believers, are left. Then Allah wanted to filter even more. So they started traveling in the desert towards Jerusalem.
So how many people were there after the...
Let's say 1,000.
Okay.
So from 10,000, 1,000. Let's say as an example, just as an example, it's not a fact.
What did he want to filter?
Because he wants only people with strong faith to fight the war, because the war is going to be, they will be outnumbered, and they will be, don't have as much equipment and don't have as much strength. So he wanted people with strong faith only, because people with weak faith won't be able to make it.
He filtered the army of Jerusalem? Or?
Yes, he filtered the army of the children of Israel who wanted to go to war. To conquer Jerusalem.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay? Is everything clear now? Okay. So Allah wanted to run them through the first test. And the first test was, Allah selected Qarun. Allah selected Talut. The response was, what? Talut? No way. He's poor. He's not rich. No. No way. We have better people around us. Why do you select Talut? Why does Allah select Talut? This is, yeah. So the Prophet said, Allah gave him a lot of wisdom and body strength. So they said, no, we're rejecting. So only 90% of them walked away and only 10% stayed. So, yes. So instead of 100,000, now you have 10,000. For example. Now, let's go to the next test. Allah wanted even to test them harder because Allah wanted only the people with very strong faith. So the second test was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Talut to tell them. They were traveling in the desert for a very long time. So ordered Talut to tell them that there will be coming a spring of water. A spring of water. That causes river. So river of water will be coming. You will see it. And Allah wants you only to drink one handful of water. Like this. Take one handful and drink it. That's it. Don't take second. Don't wash your face. Don't do anything. Just all what you require to do, all what you're allowed to do is to take what? Handful of water. And leave. So this was after a long trip in the desert. So just imagine. Imagine how tempting.
Huh? At least they got water.
They got some, but very little. Just imagine after a trip in the desert, it's very hard, it's very hot, it's crazy. And then the Prophet, when they find the river, he tells them, no, don't use don't use it, except take a handful of water and drink. When they arrived to the river, people jumped into the river. And people started, you know, spreading, washing themselves with the water and drinking and washing and drinking, and even filling their water containers with water. So Prophet Talut said, those who did that are not going to proceed with me. Only the people who followed the orders are going to proceed with me. Proceed
how
with
many
me.
Of them stayed?
He said, told them to go home.
Wait, no, but I mean, how many, like, what was the percentage that left because they jumped into this
corner? Exactly. So we're now from from 10,000, now we have 1,000 left.
But you said they had 1,000 left before.
Okay, no. So now they went from 100,000 to 10,000, the first test.
Oh, I thought you said.
And then the second test is from 10,000 to 1,000.
So another 10%.
Okay? Yes. Now, here we go. The third test. What was the third test? The third test was when they arrived to the enemy. When they arrived to the enemy land, to the land of where the enemy is, they sent spies to find out about how many soldiers in the army and what kind of war equipment they got. So they were astonished. They were shocked. The enemy has soldiers that are so big and so mighty with a lot of muscles. And they have also war equipment. They have all these kind of fancy equipment. They have this iron suits on them. They have the really mighty people with a lot of equipment. So now here's the third test. Allah said, proceed and you will win. Their king said, Allah says, you proceed and you'll win. They said, no way. You are leading us to a massacre. You crazy? Are you crazy?
So who did they fight
again? Huh?
Who did they fight again?
To go to Jerusalem. To kick those bad guys out of Jerusalem and to take over Jerusalem. Are you crazy? Your Lord said, no. No, we don't believe into you and your Lord. That says, there's no way we can win this battle. Come on. So again, 90% walked away. And how many left? 10%. So only, probably, as an example, only 100 stayed. So we went down from 100,000 into 100. But those 100 were like the strong 100. And they went into the war. And what happened is that Dawood, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, was among the ones who stayed. Okay? So among the best ones, among the ones who are best in faith and who have strong faith in Allah, what he did, he said, if I kill the leader, those guys will get confused. And then we will be able to defeat them. So what he did, he got that rock with a rope. What do you call it? It's like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The cowboys, like, they go like that.
And then he shot the rock.
What was the one that said that if he hit the king, then everybody would retreat?
Yes.
Who was the one?
Dawood. So he threw this rock at him. And the rock got in the head, got the perfect target, which targeted the head of the bad, of the leader. The leader of the bad guys, his name was Jalut.
Jalut. Oh, I know this story.
Jalut. Okay? So the guy is Jalut. And the ones who killed Jalut was Dawood, which is Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Got it? Then they went into the Jerusalem, and the remaining ones joined them. After they conquered Jerusalem, and after they freed Jerusalem from the bad guys, and they won the battle, the the other guys that were left behind came to come into to join with them and live in the Holy Land under the leadership of Prophet Dawood. Oh yes, they let them. Among the qualities is that they are generous, forgiving people. Said, okay, we forgive you. You can just join us. But again, the ones who joined them are the bad ones. Not the bad ones, the ones with weak faith. So that is a test. That is a test. This is what we say when we say that Allah tests somebody. This is the kind of test that we're talking about.
So out of 100,100 are truly taken.
Yes.
Huh? Take a picture. Okay. Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead. So now we go and learn about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr. Al-Hashr. Okay. And the first name we want to learn about in Surah Al-Hashr, we're learning about the names of Allah in Surah Al-Hashr. Al-Hashr. The first name we want to learn about from the names of Allah is that La ilaha illahu. That Allah has no God except Him. This is the Shahada. The Shahada is to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the Shahada. Got it? But the word of Shahada itself is La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. So the first one is La ilaha illallah, that we want to know. The ones who believe in La ilaha illallah are called what?
The
muwahideen. Muwahideen means ones who have tawheed. Ones who have tawheed.
How do you spell this
word? Al-Baqarah?
No,
oh, Al-Hashr. A-L-hyphen-H-I-S-H. You are. Okay. Sit here. Because I said so. Sit here. So, the ones who say La ilaha illallah are ones who have Tawheed. The ones who don't say La ilaha illallah, they have opposite of Tawheed. They have Shirk. They have what?
Shirk.
Yes, they have shirk, yes. So we have tawheed against shirk. Now, the one who brought the worship of idols, the ones who do shirk are called idol worshippers.
Huh? What is it called, the people who have tawheed in Arabic?
It's called muwahideen. Yes, muwahideen. It's called muwahideen. Right? Oh, you want an eraser?
No, the spray.
Okay. They are called the muwahideen, the ones who practice La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah means that you don't treat anybody the way you treat Allah. Okay? Don't treat anybody the way you treat Allah. Don't love anybody the way you love Allah. Don't ask anybody of your needs the way you ask Allah. Okay? So that's called Tawheed. Opposite to that is Shirk. The one who brought Shirk to Mecca and the idols to Mecca is a guy called Amr ibn Luhay. Amr ibn Luhay. Amr ibn Luhay. You can't read in Arabic, that's why I wrote it in English.
No, I can read in Arabic.
Okay, so he brought the idols. Why would somebody bring the idols to worship? Because, okay, first of all, how did he convince the people to worship idols? They said, Allah is too big for us to talk, to get, is too big. You can't get the attention of Allah. Why? Because you're so small and Allah is so big. You can't go from you to Allah direct. There is no, Allah will not hear you. Allah is busy, it's too busy. Allah, go ahead.
Then if he knows this, then was he a Muslim before?
Before he was, you know, looking for something. He really didn't have anything before. So he convinced people, he said, Allah is too big. We are too small to get the attention of Allah. So he said, okay, if we bring idols, then those idols, middle gods. Middle gods means what? Means they are too small, means too large to talk to Allah. And too small, I'm sorry, large enough to talk to Allah, small enough to talk to us.
So like demigods, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's just like two, like middle gods. They are said, we worship middle gods. So they said, we worship what? Middle gods. Now, how is this going to benefit Luhay ibn Amr? It's benefiting him because he would say, okay, I am the clerk of the idols. He's the clerk of the idols. And I'm the only one who can talk to them. So he can ask the people to do things in the name of the idols. So he can just go and listen.
Hey,
huh. Really? You want people to do that? Okay. Now, he told me that everybody have to vote for Salman.
Okay, nobody wants to. Nobody's forced to.
And then he goes again. Huh. He tells me that he wants 100 camels be sacrificed to him.
Yes, Jesus.
And guess who gets the 100 camels?
Amr.
The clerk, yeah, the clerk of the idols. You see what I'm saying? So basically the idea of the idols is that I can claim that I'm the clerk of the idols, and by claiming that, or the custodian of the idols, by claiming that, I can get people to do whatever I want. You got it?
Give me, okay. Don't worry, this one.
Got it? And they have been used before to say, to slave people to the king. Say, this king is God's shadow on earth, and we have to worship him.
Oh, so basically the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh. And before, and other than the Pharaoh, the Namrud, and so forth. You got it? So, why shirk is so bad? Huh? You answer and say? What would be the answer?
Because they disobey Allah and create fear. Because for all you know, you could be worshipping a tree.
Okay. Number one. The idols don't send Quran, don't send books or messengers. The idols don't send what? Books or messengers. So who's going to speak on the behalf of the idols?
Clerk.
The clerk. So now the clerk will be treated like God on earth. The clerk would be treated like God on earth. Because he's the only one that can speak to the idols. Okay? So that's number one.
That's just really dumb.
Now, number two, this is
this one.
It is insulting to Allah to say that Allah is too big for to know about us. That Allah doesn't know about me. And I have to pray to a middle God. And this middle God's big enough to get the attention of Allah. You got it? You got it, Salim? You got it? Okay. All right. Pay attention, still doodling. Take notes. Okay, it's 12. It's 11. Okay. Okay. Now, it's a low image of Allah. Anytime you describe Allah in a negative way, we say this is a low image of Allah. This is what?
A low
image of Allah. Why shirk is a low image of Allah?
Because it's undescribable.
Because they describe Allah as someone who he only cares about himself, and he doesn't have ability or time. He doesn't have time to listen to every one of us.
Sure, that's why he made this earth for all of us to live on.
Yes. So basically, it's just saying, I cannot pray to Allah directly because Allah will not listen to me. I'm too small. So I need to go pray to this God, and this God's going to deliver my prayer to who?
To God.
To God. Got it? So that's the first bad thing, is that the clerk is treated like God on earth because he's the one who can listen to these middle gods. Number two, it is insulting to Allah to say that Allah does not listen to every one of us. This is a low image of Allah or a good image of Allah?
Low image.
This is a low image of Allah. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
This is a low image of Allah. Now, if I say Allah is one, but I have a low image of this one, like I say he doesn't listen to every one of us because we're too small. Isn't that insulting to Allah?
Yes.
Insult. If someone insults Allah in front of you, what would you say? If I tell you Allah eats, you say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Which means that Allah is what? It's better than that. Allah is better than that. You say what? Subhanallah. Means Allah is perfect. Allah is better than what you're saying. So if I say Allah is to sleep, Allah sleeps. Allah sleeps. What would you say?
Are you joking?
No. I say Subhanallah. I say Subhanallah.
Isn't Subhanallah the
most things? Also, no. Subhanallah means Allah is better than what you're saying.
Wait, okay. Whenever we see something amazing, we're like Subhanallah. No, but whenever you see something amazing or beautiful, you say Subhanallah.
Yes, that always. This is in this context.
In this context.
Hold on. No, in this case, it's like wow. When you're wowed about something, you also say what? Subhanallah. Is how perfect Allah is. Subhanallah means, you know, the ability of Allah is infinite. That Allah is so able to do these magnificent, wonderful things. You got it?
Yeah.
So the people. Uh-huh.
You also say Alhamdulillah.
No, you don't say Alhamdulillah. You say Subhanallah. The people, got it? So who can tell me, okay, how is La ilaha illallah beneficial to the guys who believe in it? Who made it? Who made the idea? Who brought the idea?
Wait, I don't understand.